Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we began looking at an article that was in the August 2019 edition of Ensign Magazine. This is an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The article was titled, The Essential Role of Revelation, subtitle being, Revelation is an essential factor in knowing the things of God. They cannot be learned solely by study and reason. It was written by Terrence M. Vinson, who was of the presidency of the 70, and yesterday we introduced his article where he was talking about knowledge and wisdom, and we're going to continue on that first page of his article, which is found on page 47, where he starts off, Eric, by saying, "Oh, that cunning plan of the evil one! Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men!" Now, he's talking about the words of Jacob, who is the son of Lehi in the Book of Mormon. This is found in 2 Nephi 9:28 through 29. What does it go on to say?
When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Wherefore, their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not, and they shall perish. But to be learned is good if they hearken unto the counsels of God.
I don't think I would have a problem with that admonition there. That to be learned is good if they hearken unto the counsels of God. And that's the basis of our argument as New Testament Christians, and the reason why we feel it important to challenge the presuppositions of our LDS friends. They also claim to have learned things, and they think that what they've learned are, in fact, the counsels of God. And that's the question. How many times have I had a Latter-day Saint give me their personal testimony that they know the Book of Mormon is true, they know that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, they know the LDS Church is the only true church, and whoever's in charge at the time is a true prophet of God? Yet you ask them, well, how do you know this is the Holy Ghost telling you that? The answer is usually always the same. It's always something like this: I just know. Folks, that's just not good enough. That's not very convincing. It certainly doesn't convince me. I want to know how you came to the conclusion to know for sure, as you are implying, that what you believe about these certain things, in fact, was confirmed by the Holy Spirit himself. That's what I want to know. And I would admit that when even a Bible-believing Christian says that the Holy Spirit told them certain things, I've asked them that too. How do you know it's the Holy Spirit? How do you know that's just not something that you want to have happen? In other words, we have to be very careful because we are a fallen people and we are prone to be manipulated by our fallenness. That's why I think, Eric, God gave us the written word, is that we do go to a source outside of ourselves, lest we allow our personal prejudices and our personal desires to, as I said, manipulate us into a certain way of thinking or a certain act.
That's how, Bill, we can know when a revelation is not of God, when it does contradict the revealed revelation that's given in the Bible. And I don't think a lot of Latter-day Saints understand that, because when you take a look at the doctrines of Mormonism and you study them and go beyond the surface of just the terms themselves, you're going to find that Mormonism differs in every single doctrine when it comes to comparing that with what Christianity has believed for over 2,000 years straight from God's Word.
As we've often said, one of the problems that we have with the LDS movement is its theology either denies or distorts all of the basic teachings of the Christian faith. That cannot be overlooked. And you cannot convince me in saying, well, I just know that what I believe is true because the Holy Spirit told me. Well, wait a minute. Did not the Holy Spirit tell Paul certain things? I would say that he probably did, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Or did the Holy Spirit tell Peter certain things or John certain things? And if the Holy Spirit told them certain things that contradict what you're saying the Holy Spirit told you, I have to come up with a decision now because you both can't be right. You can't say that you're right and all these apostles are right as well. Someone has to be wrong if what is being taught contradicts each other.
The Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can understand it? And when we understand that the word canon, which is our Bible, means straight or read, it helps us to be able to measure what is true, what is not true, and to make that determination. When you base it, though, on feelings, you can be misled by many different emotions, and that can't show us what is truth if it's contradicting the facts. For instance, you might have a feeling when you were in grade school that a girl that you saw, that you loved her, but if she didn't return that, no matter how much you thought you were in love and you knew that you were in love, but she didn't return that feeling, then it's not love. You don't have that no matter how much you have deceived yourself into thinking that it was. And there's many different kinds of illustrations, but when it comes to Mormonism's idea of revelation, it is revelation that's going to have to agree with what the presuppositions of the Mormon church are all about. And that we have as a problem if we're going to take the Bible seriously.
He goes on in the next paragraph to say, here we have a hint as how to find wisdom. What does he say there?
We must hearken to the counsels of God. As the Lord has said concerning those who put their trust in him, quote, their wisdom shall be great, and their understanding reach to heaven. And before them the wisdom of the wise shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent shall come to naught.
Now, where do you think he got that?
Well, that it's quoted from Doctrine and Covenant, section 76, verses 9 through 10.
Do you think maybe Joseph Smith kind of lifted it from Isaiah 29:14? See, this is what I was talking about yesterday. Just because a particular Bible verse might be found, let's say in the Book of Mormon, it would be erroneous to assume because you find a Bible verse that somehow that also means that it's an ancient scripture. And yet many Latter-day Saints believe just that. They see a lot of these Bible verses. In fact, they're even written in King James. Sounds even more Bible-ish than if it was written in modern English, which I find kind of odd to begin with. Why do you have ancient Indians talking in King James English? That just seems so bizarre. Do most Mormons understand the problem that we have with that? That makes no sense. If they existed at all, they certainly would not have talked like they were from Old England. That's just not something that we should believe. But again, with the precept, I would agree with that. Certainly, the understanding of the prudent shall come to naught. If that understanding is what we would term to be man's wisdom, and that's a common phrase that Mormons use, it's a common phrase that a lot of us Christians would use as well. But where did that come from? It came from a book. Came from the book of Isaiah. That's where Paul got it for 1 Corinthians 1:19. And in the next paragraph, he's going to also cite from Isaiah 64:4.
For by my spirit will I enlighten them, and by my power will I make known unto them the secrets of my will. Yea, even those things which eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor yet entered into the heart of man.
So we find that even Doctrine and Covenants in 76 verse 10, it is taking that from Isaiah 64:4. Now on the next page, on page 48, he says, but most people do not understand this or do not live it. For them, education is purely an intellectual pursuit. I don't think we would argue with that statement. Yeah, he's probably right in a lot of areas. But he goes on to say, we are easily indoctrinated in modern society to believe that we can really only know something through our intellects and our physical senses. That would be that empirical evidence that you were talking about yesterday, Eric. There is no tolerance in the modern world for things that can't be proven scientifically.
Bill, that's what we call naturalism, and that is what many secular folks out there are believing. And you mentioned empiricism, that you have to be able to experience it. If it's not able to be experienced, then it doesn't exist, and that includes the existence of God.
Well, would you say that we as Christians would deny what he has just said in that paragraph. I don't see anywhere where I would deny that. I think when he says that we are easily indoctrinated in modern society to believe that we can really only know something through our intellects and our physical senses, I would argue, yes, that's the way our culture does talk. That's how they do determine what is true as opposed to what is false, what is right as opposed to what is wrong. In many cases, it has to be tested through our intellects in such a manner. But as a Christian, though I agree with Mr. Vincent's premise, I would also say that as a Christian, I go beyond that. I do believe things that go beyond a test of the physical senses. So when he says there is no tolerance in the modern world for things that can't be proven scientifically, I'd say, yeah, our culture does tend to go in that direction. So I would have no problem with that statement he's saying there. But at the bottom of the page, Eric, he has a subheading, Two Ways to Know.
He writes, Latter-day Saints understand that there are instead two different ways of knowing things, scientifically, through the use of reasoning and the physical senses, and spiritually, through revelation and the spiritual senses. The experiences that my wonderful wife Kay and I have been blessed to enjoy in West Africa have reinforced for us the power of knowing spiritually. Many West Africans dream dreams or see visions that have spiritual implications for them and for their families.
But let me ask this question, though. He doesn't explain what these dreams are. He doesn't really explain who the people are that are having these visions or these dreams, other than, I assume, they are living in West Africa. Now, I've been to Africa a couple of times, and I do know, in talking with a lot of the local Africans, that that is a problem in Africa. A lot of them do have visions, and they do have dreams. But folks, let's not just limit it to West Africa. There's a lot of Americans that hold to a similar position, that if they had a dream, that that must be the Holy Spirit talking to them. I would be very careful about that. If the dream or the vision that you claim to have had conflicts with what God has already revealed, what do you think should carry more weight? Obviously, the revelation from the scripture itself. Your feelings have to take a back seat to that. There again is the problem we have with Mormonism. Joseph Smith comes on the scene and he says things that for us as New Testament Christians can't be true because God has already addressed that subject. For instance, when Joseph Smith said, we've imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity, I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see. Why do I believe that that statement is wrong? Because it conflicts with what the Bible already says about God. We know, for instance, in Psalm 90, verse 2, that God was always God from everlasting to everlasting. And also, if you believe the Book of Mormon, then why is it that you don't bring up Moroni 8:18, which teaches basically the same principle of Psalm 90, verse 2, which of course conflicts with what Joseph Smith claimed God told him to teach his people? Do I hear a lot of Latter-day Saints doing that? No, they tend to just ignore what Moroni 8:18 has to say, and of course they're also ignoring what Psalm 90, verse 2 has to say about the person of God.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.